If you go up to the Phoenix Park and there's nothing but hundreds upon hundreds of trees, isn't that right? Oak trees and every other kind of tree. And they're there probably for hundreds of years. But you know what we don't see with those trees? We actually don't see the roots. We see this lovely tree with a big fat trunk and its lovely branches. But we actually don't see what's underneath, what's under the undergrowth. You see, they go down so far that they're so rooted. Not even a storm, Ophelia, or Henry, or Harry, or whoever those storms were, or an orange warning, or a yellow warning, nothing could uproot those trees in the Phoenix Park. And you see, what God's word is saying to us this morning, nothing should uproot us this morning either. Nothing should uproot us. Nothing at all. Because that's our confirmation. That's our promise. That his love would go down so deep, so wide, so long, so high, that nothing should knock us as believers of God. Amen? And I want to challenge it again. Can we say that we're rooted? Can we honestly say, as believers, that we're grounded in the love of God? I have a picture. I'm not sure if Femi can get it up there. Can you see that? It's a tree. And I was out walking one day in Dunabay Beach. And I came across this tree. And if you see here, that's the sandbank. The tree is exposed. You can see the roots. You can see how dry the roots are, the branches are, how bristle they are. And if you look at the other part of the tree on the right hand, my right, you will see that the tree, it's still rooted. It's still in the ground. But that part of the tree is flourishing with all its branches and its lovely green leaves. But this side of the tree, it's not. And if you see that the seed bank has come away, and sometimes as believers, I use this as an example because it got me thinking about us as believers, that sometimes we're partially rooted. Sometimes we're partially, you know, in the soil of God, and sometimes we're not. How deep do your roots go down in God? You see, that tree is probably eventually going to die. Because this side, where the branches are exposed, where it's not getting the nourishment of water, that tree is eventually going to die. And sometimes as believers, when we're not grounded, we're not rooted in the Word of God, in the fellowship of God, when we don't have our own time with God, sometimes we can be parched. And sometimes we can be partially in and partially out. And for some of us, we can find it hard to accept that God actually loves us. Would you say it's easier for you as a believer to believe that God loves you when life has gone great? I have a few hecklers up the front here. What about when life's in turmoil? When discouragement comes, when disappointment comes, when hurt comes, even when you feel overlooked, would you believe that God still loves you on those days? Do you doubt God's love? Do you believe that he loves you all the time? Do you allow his love to penetrate you, even on those days that you feel discouragement? Even those days when you feel abandoned, or when you feel disappointment come, when you feel when you're hurting, when you're angry, when you're alone, when uncertainty can hit your life unexpectedly, do you allow God's love to go there? And I've got to be honest, I don't, not every day. It's something that I've struggled with this year. And it was something that God had to show me in my own life, you know, where he had to fix me. So I want to ask you, do you allow God's love to penetrate those areas? You see, some of us are good at keeping our stuff hidden. Isn't that right? We're good at, you know, as people, we're good at hiding stuff. We're good at hiding our thoughts, our feelings from loved ones, even from close friends. And we can go to a place of denial. We can go to a place of self-confidence, you know. I'm all right, but really we're not all right. Really, we're hemorrhaging on the inside because deep down in our core, we're bleeding out. There's something emotionally not right. There's something that's off key. There's something that's off balance. I had a car for about 11 years and I loved it. It was a Toyota Corolla. And for the last 5 years of that car's life, and my life probably, the heating system broke. And every year I would say, I'm going to get that fixed. I'm going to get that fixed. I'm going to get that fixed. So come November, that heating system would still be broke. So I'd be getting into the car like an Eskimo, covered from head to toe, trying to get the heat into me. Because what was blown out of the heating system was actually cold air. It was icicles coming back at me. And Sharon, you'll remember this getting into the car. But the car, the heating system, it was dysfunctional. When I would get into somebody else's car, you would feel the heat straight away. You'd snuggle up to the heat and you'd ditch all the Eskimo gear. And I'm sharing this with you this morning because sometimes our hearts can become familiar with brokenness. We can become familiar with dysfunctionality. We can get used to things not working in our lives. That we just keep plodding and plodding and plodding along. We get used to dysfunction. And it's only when someone comes into our life, or God brings somebody along, or God brings you to a Bible study, or God may bring you to listen to a sermon, that the brokenness within you becomes highlighted, becomes illuminated, that it's like amber flashing lights screaming off, I'm broken, I'm broken, I need to be fixed. There's something within me that's not working properly. There's something within me deep down in my core, Lord, that I'm afraid to give you. There's something, Lord, that I want to keep hidden. There's something, Lord, that I'm actually afraid to let go. That, you know what, I'll just stay in this dysfunctionality. I'll stay in this brokenness. I'm not worthy to be fixed. I'm not worthy to receive your love, God, every day. I'm not worthy. I look around at everybody else in the church and you know what? They might be a longer Christian, or they might be 20 years a Christian, or whatever. They might be a pastor. They might be a leader. Whatever. They deserve it more. No. No. Yeah, it is a lie. We become used to brokenness in our lives. I have a set of garden lights in my garden. I haven't worked for 2 years. Yeah. I'm like dear Sally this morning. But they haven't worked. I've just become so used to these not working that I just walk by them. Do I love my garden lights? Well, I did. Yeah, I did love them. But there's an electrical fault, or there's something that's not making them work correctly. And there's something as us, as people, that we adjust to brokenness. We just adjust to it. Like the heating system in the car. Like the garden lights. And you look around your house today, go home, and you'll see stuff that's not working. You'll see things. You'll be saying, that Louise one. But I'm saying all that because we just adjust to brokenness. But God's word says, how long, how wide, how high, how deep does the love of the Father go for each of us here this morning? How wide, how long, how high? And if you're in that place this morning where you've felt broken, where you've just adjusted to dysfunctionality. If you've been in that place, can I tell you here this morning that Jesus loves you? That Jesus gets you when nobody else gets you. He gets you. That Jesus is for you. Can I tell you that He delights in you? That He is so, so pleased with you here this morning. He's not ashamed of you. He takes great delight in each of you here this morning. And He doesn't hate you. He doesn't. Paul tells the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4, he says, that we're called as the church to lead a life worthy of your calling. You have been called by God. Imagine that. You have been called by God. Each of us here this morning have been called by God. So if you're hanging in by a thread here this morning, not knowing your worth, your value, or your purpose, or why you're here on this earth, Ephesians 4 says that you have been called by God. You've been called out. You've been set apart. So what he's saying is, I'm getting ahead of myself, we've been called out. We've been called out of darkness. Jimmy brought it out earlier on beautifully. We've actually been called out of darkness. Imagine that. Darkness. We've been called into the light. And when we surrender to Jesus, we are called to live a life as victorious Christians. Even on our good and even on our bad days. Amen. And I do sense that there are some people here this morning that you've actually made a judgment about yourself. You've made a judgment about your life. You've made a judgment about your character. You've made a judgment that you don't measure up, that you are not worthy of God's love. You're not worthy to be loved. You've spoken this stuff over you, or you've allowed voices to speak that over you. Well, here's the good news. Jesus would never, ever, ever speak that about you this morning. Jesus would never offend you. He would never, ever frown upon you. He would actually never, ever, ever make a judgment about you here this morning. And if there's trust issues that you have with God, I'm going to tell you again, God gets you. God gets you. When nobody else does, He gets you. God gets you. God knows you inside out. He knows how to help His sons and daughters here this morning. Because His love stretches, it penetrates down to our deepest core. Are you still with me? Amen. I went on holidays here a few weeks ago. And if you ever want to go on a holiday, pick a fight with your partner because you'll get there. Let me tell you, it worked. But I know I'm only kidding. I read a book by a guy called Chris Vallotton. This guy is a preacher. He's a prophet. He moves around the world in his giftings. And I read this book called The Supernatural Lifestyle. And as I was reading the book, one of the stories stuck out to me in the book, and I love the story, and I want to share it with you this morning. Chris Vallotton is after coming off the back of a conference with his wife. And it was a busy conference. And so when the conference was finished, they were getting a plane back home to where they lived. So they're boarding on the plane. And so they have two separate seats. So she's on, she's in one seat and he's in another seat. So she's kind of up the top of the plane and he's down the back. So he's on the plane. And he decides that he's going to sleep all the way home. So he's nodding off on the plane. And next of all, the Lord says to him, wake up. And so he starts huffing and puffing. And he said, Lord, I'm wrecked. He said, I just want to go to sleep. He said, wake up. He said, there's no time for napping. So he wakes up and he said, what, Lord? And he said, you see where your wife is sitting, Kathy? He said, I want you to exchange seats with her. So he says, Lord, really, I don't want to go down there. He said, I want you to go down there, exchange seats. He said, there's a guy sitting there, he said, and I want you to talk to him. He said, I'm not in the humor to talk to him. So this is going back and forth, this dialogue with Chris and the Lord. So he eventually gives in, goes down, he taps his wife on the shoulder. He said, we have to change seats. So they exchange seats. So this guy is sitting across the aisle. This guy is full of tattoos. He's about 6 foot tall. He's a mean looking guy. His head is shaved. Part of his head is shaved and he has a very long ponytail. And then he has a goatee that goes down to his belly button. So Chris Vallotton is looking at him going, really, Lord? So he said, what am I going to say to him? He said, tell him you might think you're a tough guy, but you're a mammy's boy. Yeah. So Chris Vallotton says to the Lord, are you for real? He said, tell him. So he's up and he said, here, listen, man. He said, I have a word for you. You know, so he's getting a little bit agitated, you know. So he says, I have a word from you from God. So the guy with the tattoos, the long goatee, the long hair, the shaved head, turned around and he goes, yeah? So Chris Vallotton says, he says to him, the Lord told me to tell you. He said, you might think you're a tough guy. He said, but really, he said, you're a mammy's boy. Well, your man just wept and he looked at him and he said, that's right, he said. He said, I am a mammy's boy, he said. So Chris Vallotton goes on to say, he said, and your father walked out on you. He said, when you were a young boy. So this guy is in bits now. And he said, that's right. He said, he did walk out on me. And he said, and I don't have a relationship with him. So they begin to chat and they begin to talk. And so Chris Vallotton says to him then, he said, I see you're in a band. And he said, yeah. So the Lord tells Chris Vallotton, tell him the band that he's in is going to break up by the end of the year. Talk about misery. But anyway, so Chris Vallotton is like, all right. So he says to him, you see the band you're in? He said, that's going to break up, he said, by the end of the year. So he said, but the Lord told me to tell you. He said, you're going to travel the globe. He said, you're going to open orphanages, he said. And he said, and you're going to be a father to orphans. Well, your man was stunned. And he says to him, that's been a dream of my heart, he said, from the time I was a little boy. And the reason I'm sharing this story this morning, God knows everything about us. Everything. Everything. He knows every single thing about us. We cannot hide stuff from God. You know, even our deepest discouragements, our despairs, our rejections, our dreams, our visions, our goals, God knows everything about us here this morning. Jesus gets you here this morning. When nobody else gets you, Jesus gets you. Jesus loves you and Jesus is for you here this morning. He created you because he loved the very thought of you here this morning. He took us out of darkness. He called us out of darkness. And then Paul goes on to talk about knowing the love of God takes power. And he brings it out in Ephesians 3:14. He says, Paul talks about falling to his knees and kneeling before the Father to pray for the power for us. Imagine that. Paul was doing the groundwork for us as well. And he kneeled before the Father to pray for us. And then he goes on in Ephesians 16 and he says, he continues on to pray for the power for us. So twice he tells us that he's praying for the power, and the power is the Holy Spirit. That's who Paul is talking about. He was praying that the Holy Spirit would have an impartation in each of our lives. So how do we grasp the love of God? Well, we've got to understand that God loves us. If you don't understand that this morning, you've got to settle that in your heart. You've got to settle it. Not some days, other days. God loves us, me, you, everyone, every day. Every day. We've got to settle it. God gets you here this morning. And maybe you need to fall on your knees to pray for his power, to believe that God loves you. Maybe you need to come to the front at the end of this and say, Lord, forgive me, but help me to know the power of your love. Help me to understand how high, how wide, how long, and how deep the love of God goes. You see, the scripture will tell us that we can't actually have love without the power. We can't have it. And we can't have power without love. To know the power of his love for us, it's more than just head knowledge. It's more than that. We've got to open up the entrance of our heart to receive his love. And you know what? For some, that means being vulnerable. For some, that means saying, Lord, here I am in your vulnerability. And not just staying broken. Not just adjusting to what you know. But that we receive his love. That we're in possession of his love. That we trust him. That we believe that he sent the Holy Spirit. The one that can feed us every day. The one that can fully satisfy us every day. Even on our worst days. Even the days where we make bad choices. The days where we're disgusted with ourselves. Do you ever have those days? No matter what you've done, or whatever has happened in your past, your yesterdays or your tomorrows, Jesus says that he will never ever leave us. He says he will never cast you out. You see, if we live rooted like the oak trees up in the Phoenix Park, if we stay rooted, not partially, but fully, we're going to walk in freedom in everything in our lives. You see, what will happen is his love will actually become an anchor. It becomes an anchor. Just like when a ship is out in the ocean, and when the anchor goes down, it can't move. And that's what will happen when we allow God to come into our deepest wounds, into our deepest rejections, into our deepest disappointments. We'll become anchored to know that he's the only one that can fix us. That his love stretches. It stretches. And I'm just finishing. The love of God meets us in our mess. So you don't have to come all together. Although you might look great on the outside, inside you could be hemorrhaging. But can I tell you this morning, you can come in your mess, come in your crisis, come in your chaos, come in your sad circumstances. You see, he doesn't wait to clean us up and then come to meet us. He meets us where we're at. And I just think for some here this morning, you just need to hear the words over and over again that Jesus loves you. And if you've never heard that this morning, let that settle in your heart. Jesus loves you. Jesus gets you. He gets you. Not everybody gets me, but I know he gets me. And I know that he's for me. Not everybody's for me, but I know that he's for me. So when we're anchored in him, when the winds of hurt, disappointment, rejection blow, I cannot be uprooted. I cannot be ripped apart because I'm established in his love. His love holds me. His love grounds me. And you know what happens? Fear loses its grip. Pain loses its hold on me. And shame falls off me. And that's the promises of God. That shame has no longer any root within us. Because it falls off when he takes over. So I'm going to ask the team to come back. I don't know where they are. The worship team, yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can I ask us all to stand, please? If you've struggled with the love of God, if you've struggled knowing the deepness of his love, I want to invite you to come to the front. I believe there's some here that need to know the love of God. I believe that there's some that need a fresh revelation of Jesus here this morning. There's some here this morning that you need to hear this. God gets you. Jesus gets you. So you can skip out of here today and you can say, you know what? Jesus gets me. You can shout it from the rooftops when nobody else does. Jesus gets you. He's for you. He took you out of the darkness. He called you out. So that he could lavish his love upon you. So that he could go to the core of your being. And take out that which is hurting, that which is disappointing, that which has caused you pain and rejection. That which you have just acted in your brokenness. Where you have stayed in that place where that'll never be fixed. You've just adjusted to knowing that life. But Jesus is saying, no, come on. I've so much more. I've so much more that I want to go deep, 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 deep into the undergrowth. I want to go down into the undergrowth of your heart. I want to take that which is causing you pain, that which is causing you anxiety, that which is keeping you awake at night time. I want to take that. The disappointment, the shame, the rejection, the labels that have been put on you. And Jesus is saying, I get you. I'm for you. I'm for you. I get you. And I want to heal you. I want to heal you. And the first thing that you have done is you have taken a step to open your hearts, the entrance of your heart, to allow God come in and to heal those wounds. And it's like being on the operating table. If you've ever had deep surgery, where the doctor will go in and he will go to where the root is, or he will go to where the hemorrhaging is to try stop the hemorrhaging. And that's what Jesus wants to do here this morning. He wants to go to where the hemorrhaging is. Because in him we can have fullness of life. In him we can have fullness of life.